Our scripture reading is recorded in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with the 20th verse. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I can remember carrying a box of clothes off to the Goodwill. They were clothes that belonged to one of my classmates here at Bethany. We were cleaning out his room in Tigan Hall. It was in the summer. I was doing some work here on campus. This classmate of mine had been killed in a car accident over the Easter break, just a month and a half before summer began. And his parents were so distraught over the situation that they didn't want to have to go and pick up his things. And so we were asked to go and clean out his room, and it was kind of an odd feeling. I remember seeing shirts in there that I had seen him wear on campus during the school year. It's interesting how when death strikes in a family, how it impacts people, the effect that it has. I often wonder what it was like for Adam and Eve the first time they found, when they first found the body of their son after the fall into sin. Maybe they'd seen animals before that, you know, corpses of animals, but their own son, Abel. And then to see the wounds probably still visible on him, how he'd been killed by his own brother. In the text before us, Martha comes to meet Jesus as he approaches their home and expresses to him almost kind of a rebuke of why he hadn't been there. You can tell in her words and kind of in her voice that she likewise is having difficulty dealing with the reality of her brother's death. She probably, along with her sister Mary, had to take their brother's body and prepare it, as was often customary. Probably included spices with it and so on and wrapped it up. Probably was one of the ones with other men in the little town of Bethany that had to carry that body of their brother into the grave. There's some horrific consequences that fall on families because of what took place in the Garden of Eden in the fall into sin. The devil is himself the creator of death. And because of his work and because of his ability to trick our first parents, he not only brought sin into the world that we have to deal with, but along with that, this nasty plague of death that families now have to deal with, and that your family, maybe your kids or grandkids, will someday have to deal with your own body. And how hard it is to take the bodies of our loved ones and dress them up, put them in the ground, and then try to imagine what's going to happen to them. Even though we may clothe them nicely and pick out their best suit or dress and put on that little piece of family jewelry that we want on them, somewhere in the soil, their bodies ultimately deteriorate. There is still residue somewhere in the world of Abel's body. Outside of the seaside town in Weymouth, England, there's a plaque down near the waterfront that says this on it: "The Black Death," that's the bubonic plague, "entered England in 1348 through this port. It killed 30 to 50% of the country's total population." That had to be intimidating for people once they started to realize that the plague had entered their community. And I'm sure that everybody started wondering, what if I have it? Maybe they just didn't know it yet. So this plague that has struck the world, this plague of death, where is it going to land next? A theologian named Johann Gerhard reminds us of this. We deceive ourselves sadly if we think of death only as taking place with the last breath of life here. On the contrary, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, we are dying. The plague is here. And I have it. And I'm sorry, but you have it. That's the harsh reality. And so the presence of our Lord Jesus coming to the home of Mary and Martha, and the presence of our Lord Jesus coming into this world, the presence of the Lord Jesus even here today through his word, is what changes everything. Jesus is well aware of the situation when he comes to the home of Martha. And he's also aware of his own plan to utilize this opportunity to demonstrate his divine power over death itself. He's well aware of the miracle that he is about to perform on Lazarus' dead body. And he also is aware of the fact that this very miracle he will perform will now set in motion the opposition from the Jewish leaders that will ultimately drive him to be put on trial and crucified for all of our sins. Now, it's interesting that Jesus, when he speaks to Martha about all of this, reminds her of who he is, just exactly who he is. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He is life. That's interesting. He can't be otherwise as true God. You see, he's telling her, I don't just have the power to give life. I am life. I am life. St. Paul says about Christ, he is before all things, and in him all things consist. The Greek word there is actually exist. Anything that exists that has life, it is because of Christ, in other words. St. John says about Christ that all things were made through him, the Son of God, the Word who had become flesh. And so the real question that we need to be faced with is this. Does the creator of life, who is life itself, hold more power than the creator of death? The very one who called actual human life into existence out of a handful of dust and breathed it into the nostrils of that creature, the very one who can take a bone out of one human being and from that form another human being, the very one who can simply talk into the open air and create the entire animal kingdom, is it possible for him to reconstitute your disintegrated, decomposed body someday? Piece of cake. Yes. Death may be a plague to you in your life, but the Son of God turns and looks at this plague on your behalf and mine and says, through the words of the prophet Hosea, these are some of my favorite passages, O death, I will be your plague. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. When it comes to the Son of God, who is life, dealing with this nasty plague of death itself, he has no pity on it. Now, we see in Jesus' words to Martha the tremendous significance of this little thing that goes on inside of our hearts called faith. Jesus says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked her the greatest question of life, that he would stand and ask every one of you here today, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because it is by faith that we are connected to life itself, which is Christ. You know, God certainly wants you to believe in his angels. His word has a lot to say about his angels. He has many other doctrines and teachings in Scripture that he wants you to put your faith in and trust in and so on. But when it comes to beating the plague of death, He doesn't send you to the angels because they themselves can be subject to death itself. But he sends you to himself, to his own son. Nothing can be stronger than his son. And so when humble Christian faith, even in the heart of a little child, grabs on to Christ, it grabs on to life and possesses everything that that life gives. And so what that means for you and me as believers in Christ is this. Even though someday your family is going to have to pick out the clothes to put on your body, even though someday your body is going to rot in some box somewhere or get burned into ashes, through faith in Christ, you possess life. Life that can reconstitute and put back together your very form. And even now, the death that rages over you and may cause you to be afraid does that in vain. And so when the devil comes to you and tempts you with the fear about dying someday, you can say with Luther to the devil, "I have Christ, Satan, even if you should explode on me with hell itself. Amen."